Please be seated. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you. One day, we're going to see him.
Amen.
And the question is, when you see him, how will you see him? I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 10. He says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body." That tells me right there, there's a heaven and a hell. That tells me right there that you don't have to think that you're saved. You ought to know whether or not you're saved. He says, "Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men." That's verse number 11. But let me finish verse number 10. We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. I don't know about you, when I stop and I look at the world in which we live in, it is a mess. Amen. It's in trouble. But you know, those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, I don't know about you, I'm not worried about it. You know why? Because I know who stands in control of everything on this time side of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, Paul says, "For I know that when this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved," he said, "I'm not worried about it." Why? I got a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And then Peter says, "Every man that hath this hope purifies himself, just as he is pure." And I don't know about you, church. It's good to see you this morning. I have been missing you. But you know, God is still on the throne.
Amen.
And our job, our responsibility is to own up to what he has commanded each and every one of us. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, around about verse 13 and following. I better make sure that's the right one real quickly here. Matthew chapter 16, round about verse number 13. The Bible says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked men, 'Who do men say that I am?' Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, or one of the prophets, or even Jeremiah. But Jesus says, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter says, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God.' Jesus says, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him.'" I don't know about you. Who do you really want to see when you can't see no more? Who do you really want to be with when this time side of life really has no meaning anymore? I don't know about you. One day you're going to leave here. And I don't know about you, the more I think about that day when I stand before his judgment seat, all I want to hear is, "Well done, Stan. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord." You know, we've been talking about this text, compassion, and what compassion is and what compassion is not. And this morning I want to show you, I've titled this lesson, "Love is Rooted in Compassion." Because without true love, agape love, you will never ever have compassion on anyone. And I'm learning that compassion comes out of the root of God himself. John chapter 3 verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have" what? "Everlasting life." I don't know about you. I might die physically, but I'm going to live on eternally.
Amen.
And I'm going to live in the joy and the presence of God himself. I won't have to worry about no more pain, no more suffering. I won't have to worry about you talking about me or looking mean and ugly. I will plan to be with the God that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. And then Peter says, if you have this type of hope, stay on track. Keep yourself motivated. Keep yourself enthused. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and round about verse number 10, "The thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life
and that you may have it more abundantly. I don't know about you, the best life on this time side of life is being a child of the Most High God. You can't get no better life than that.
And if you don't believe me, check with me later and I'll show you how you can. Church, I'm learning that Jesus has helped us to see that in this world, you're going to have tons of problems. Anybody here got a problem?
Oh, yeah.
Let me rephrase that. Anybody here ain't got a problem? That's exactly what I thought. John chapter 16, verse number 33. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. How can you be happy in the midst of all hell breaking loose? How can you be happy when you have time making ends meet? How can you be happy when you might not know which way to head? See, life is not centered in us. It's centered in God himself. And I'm learning that when you really surrender your will to God, boy, he said, I'll make your enemies be at peace with you. Matter of fact, when you do things my way, I'll give you the desires of your heart. But what does that mean, Jesus? That means I got to be willing to surrender my will to your will. That's hard to do. I don't know about you. I got my way, Darla's way, and God's way. And the only way that's really important is God's way. And I'm learning that when we do things God's way, in the midst of the crises that are going on around us, God just stables us. He settles us. He makes us comfort in the midst of trials and tribulations. Why? Because we depend on him and not on ourselves. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I ain't got into the lesson, but this ain't going to cost you nothing. This ain't going to cost you nothing. Some of y'all look like y'all need a little pumping up. I'm going to pump this crowd up, and I'm going to go over there and pump y'all up. And I hope y'all stay up before I can finish with this message. But somewhere down the line, the child of God ought to be motivated and enthused about who he or she is. Why? He died for me. That's why I always say me. He died on the cross that I don't have to suffer the pain of death itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, around about verse number 57. But thanks be to God that gives us the what?
Victory.
Victory. Well, why don't we act like it? No? We walk around, oh, well, I'm tired of, oh, it's me. How you doing? I'm trying to make it. When are you going to really understand that he died on the cross so you can make it? That's right. We ought to be the most happiest folk on the face of the earth. The most excited folk on the face of the earth. You know why? We have the victory.
Amen.
He says, thanks be to God that gives us a victory through Christ Jesus. But in order to understand the victory that you have, you got to understand verse number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be. Not try to be. Not think you are. He says be. And I'm not real smart, but some of you English folk help me out. B-E means what?
To be.
Oh, shut up, y'all.
Do it.
Do it. He says, therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast. Why is it so difficult for us to be steadfast? You know why? I know why. Because, see, you have forgotten you were purged from your old sins. He says, rather the fourfold brother, make your calling an election sure. How do I make my calling election sure? Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. For if these things be in you and help me out, smart folk, A-N-D, just because you think you're happy, don't mean that you're happy. If these things be in you and abound, it makes you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things has forgotten. Have you forgotten about where you came from? All of us came out of the cesspools of immorality. And now that you're out of cesspool of immorality, you think you're better than somebody else? I'm just raising some questions. I still ain't got into my lesson, but this ain't going to cost you nothing this morning. Church, somewhere down the line, as God's people, we believe what he has said, and our lives make the difference. Because I'm talking about compassion, but compassion is rooted in love itself. And I'm going to show you that God loved us so much, he gave the very best for me.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 1, when he made man. He saw that man needed some help.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad he didn't send Steve.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. He sent a help me. The purpose of that help me was to help me to stay on track with God first. Go back and read the text. Adam told Miss Eve what God required. And all Miss Eve had to do was stay with what God required. But that sounds like us, huh?
Yeah.
Has he told us what to do?
Yes.
What's the difficulty? Just don't want to do it, huh? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know how you get the rest of Jesus? Take his yoke.
Yeah.
But see, to take his yoke, that means I got to get rid of my yoke.
That's right.
Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I don't know about you. I got a place reserved that you can't touch.
That's right.
Amen. You know, you can touch a whole lot of stuff down here, but I got a place reserved in heaven that is reserved for S-T-A-N, and can't nobody else touch that.
Nope.
You know, MC Hammer didn't get that from me. Church, I want to show you this morning that as God's people, we ought to be so enthused about who we are because he's overcome the world. In this world, he said in John 16, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer.
Amen.
I've overcome the world.
Amen.
Church, that's why when it's time to do the will of the Father, I'm ready. Why? Because I know who holds the world in the hollow of his hand. Am I worried about tomorrow? No. Am I worried about eating? No. You know why? I serve the master. The psalmist said in Psalms 51, God said, I don't need a bull from your pen or a goat from your stable. The world is mine and the fullness thereof. If the world belongs to God and I belong to him, what should I worry about?
Boy, you don't hear me this morning. Some of y'all sitting here this morning worried about everything under the sun but your soul.
Amen.
Only thing I'm concerned about, and notice the word concern, is my soul. And I'm not too concerned about that. 1 John chapter 5, 6 and 7. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. Church, if you don't make heaven your home, you can't blame nobody but you.
No.
I made up my mind. If the Harmons want to go with me to heaven, let's go.
Amen.
If they don't, I made up my mind with you. You know why? Because one day, you're going to see me stretched out. One day, you're going to be crying. Brother Harmon's gone. But don't weep for me. You're going to have to try to get where I'm at. Believe I'm going to go. Church, somewhere down the line, this thing ought to motivate us and drive us to spiritual excellency in our everyday life. Our text, Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitude. How about us? You know, there's a commercial that's on TV. And I saw it the other day, and it's pretty shocking. There's this guy, and he's standing there. And as he's standing there, there's somebody standing behind him. And then it says over here to the right, community service. He goes a little further, and as he's walking, there's handicapped folk walking behind him. And there's a sign over there that says community service. And as he's getting his food and stuff, he's not thinking about nobody but himself. We don't do that, though.
No.
And there's a sign over there that says community service, and it dawns on him, I need to be involved to make the difference in the lives of somebody else. Boy, that sounds like what God requires of each and every one of us. Luke 19 and verse number 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus said, now I've left you an example. What example, Jesus? Go out in all the world. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. I wonder why he didn't say, come and sit.
Amen, Walton. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And Jesus says, lo, I am with you always.
That's why you can leave me. I'm never alone. I know what Jesus meant. I'm never alone because God is always there for me. The Bible says when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You ever been lost? Some of y'all has got some gray.
Well, I cut all mine off, so it wouldn't matter. Some of us is gray up on top. You ever been lost
yes.
in your walk? Some of you young folk don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about some of y'all that's 40, 50, 60 years old. In the process of your life, you ever been lost?
Amen.
You thought you knew where you were going, but you really didn't know where you were going, and you wind up lost. Jesus is talking about people that are lost, like sheep having no shepherd.
Amen.
And in this text here, Jesus reminds us that we can get so caught up in this world that we forget what it's all about. You know, the first day of the week roll around, you ought to be ready to get here.
Amen.
You ought to have a mindset, because what are we going to do? We're going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I had an opportunity to remember his death, how he died on the cross that I might live, his burial, how he rose from the grave that I might have the right to the tree of life. That's what motivates me, to know that the God of heaven sent the very best for me. And I can't give him 1 hour, 2 hours on a Sunday and a little bit on Wednesday. But boy, I can render under Caesar. 40, 60 hours and tired and still go see him. Somewhere down the line, I think we switched the clock. But the Bible says, when he saw the multitude, they were fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Amen.
The laborers are few. Why? Ain't getting paid enough. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, if I was to hire you to put a roof on this building, first thing out your mouth is how much? And it better be the price you want to hear. And so I'll have to go into the highways and byways and get a few. Don't miss this. Some powerful stuff here. Because Jesus says the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Amen.
Very powerful. Because I stand before you not because it's me. This is his harvest. My job, my responsibility is to proclaim the gospel of Christ. My job, my responsibility, same with you, is to let men and women know that in the midst of everything that's going on, you can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. How do you get a peace that surpasses all understanding? You got to ask yourself a question. Who's really in control of my life? And you know how we are in America. Don't nobody control me. Nobody? Oh, yeah, they control you. You just don't have sense enough to realize who's really controlling you. But see, as a child of God, when God really controls our lives, man, life take on a whole new meaning.
Amen.
You learn how to be happy when you're in pain. You learn to be happy knowing that God is always in control. And then I've learned in the midst of my trials and tribulations to ask whatever your will is.
Amen.
And see, and I've learned, and when I ask that, his will, it might be to take me out of here. But I'm ready. I don't know about you. I've had a healthy 60-some years on this time side of life. And I'm so glad that I'm part of the body of Christ, because I know one day he's going to close these old eyeballs. And when he closes them, I just hope he gives me just enough time to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, because you've been so nice. See, love is the root of compassion. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten son. How do I know he loved them so much? Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, he made man in his image. He made woman out of man. He gave them a commandment, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. You can do anything on this time side of life, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, don't touch it. And the day that you do, you shall surely die. And unfortunately, they was no different than you and I. Boy, I tell you, if I was to put something up there, back there and say, don't you touch it, I wonder how many people would go by and do this. ain't nobody. We're no different. God said to them to do it. Genesis chapter 6, he repented that he ever made man. But you know, before he repented, he even had a way back to man. Yeah. Genesis chapter 3 and round about verse number 15. See, love is the root of compassion. And without agape love, you will never ever develop the love that comes from the word of God. God demonstrated how much he loved what he created. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. Why did God send his son? Because God knew that man needed a way back to him. Amen. When man messed up in the garden, he had already prepared his son to come and redeem man back to himself. And Jesus came for a purpose, and that purpose was to reconcile you and I back to the Father. Go to Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 13. See, this is why I get excited. Because when I realize where I came from, I'm understanding that God sent the very best to bring me back to him. Verse 13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. God redeemed us back to the Father. He died on the cross that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. And to show you how love is so deeply rooted in compassion, I think Paul also echoes some words. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul writes these words to the church. You know, the church in the first century was no different than you and I today. God gave the first century church something. He gave them spiritual gifts. For what purpose? To confirm that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Those purpose, those gifts that he gave them, was not for themselves, but they became just like you and I. Some thought because I had the gift of healing, I was better than the person that could speak in tongues. Some thought that because I could raise the dead, I was better than the ones that spoke in tongues and could raise the sickness out of their body. But God gave them that purpose for what? To confirm that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Do you not know he gave us a gift?
Amen.
Oh yeah, he gave us a gift. It's a gift to show the world out there who he really is. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, by what? By the love we demonstrate to one another, the world knows that Jesus Christ is alive and well.
That's right.
He says the world will know us how? By the love we have for one another. But Paul here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, shows us that when we really have the proper love, our compassion, it will be overflowed. Look at what he says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. Talking loud, ain't saying nothing. Paul says, without love, all you're doing is making a bunch of noise. And you know something? Without the proper love, you'll never ever have compassion on anyone. Why? Because love is the key. He goes on to say, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have faith that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Let me show you what love is. Love is long-suffering. That's compassion over there. Love is kind. Love envies not. Love wants is not itself. Love is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly or rude. When's the last time you had some rude love? Don't answer that. Seeketh not its own. Love is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. See, when you have the proper love, our compassion for mankind will move us beyond our physical being and will help us to respond to the way God requires us to respond. God wants us as his children to go into the world and make disciples. But in order for us to make disciples, church, we got to learn how to love one another. And then when we do that, then our compassion will just flow to those around us. A couple quick points. The message is yours. See, in order to develop true compassion, you got to have Christ's mindset. I'm learning that without the mind of Christ, I would probably be one of the worst things walking.
Don't look at me funny. You probably would be too.
Right.
And if you ain't got the mind of Christ, guess what? I'll let you answer that. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, coming in the likeness of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death on the cross. See, it's the mind of Christ that shows us that agape love that Christ had for all of mankind came from his Father. And when you and I develop that agape love, church, life will take on a whole new meaning. I'm learning that when I truly love God, Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. When I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, then guess what? I will have a compassion that no man will truly understand. I'm learning that true love will motivate you to be compassionate on your enemies. True love will motivate you to allow folks to misuse and abuse you because you understand what love is really all about. Point number two, compassion is played out in our spirit. I'm learning that when we truly have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God means that I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. I love my neighbor as myself. I'm willing to suffer whatever it takes to show the compassion that God showed on Calvary. See, God showed his compassion because he sent the very best of heaven. Question is, what are we showing one another? See, when we have the proper spirit, that spirit will show, will guide us and direct us in our everyday life. See, true love, I'm learning, is compassion is really played out in the spirit that God gives me. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you something. The Bible says, but the fruit of the spirit is love. Wonder why he gets to love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, being envious of one another. See, I'm learning that compassion is played out in my everyday life. When I put God first and foremost in my life, then it's not hard to place someone else above myself. Matter of fact, Paul would remind us, Romans chapter 12 and round about verse number 9. Listen to these words that Paul would say to the believer. He says, first and foremost, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate toward one another in brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Do you know what he's saying there? I got to put you before me? That's hard. You know why it's hard? Because I really don't love God. Because when I really love God, it's not hard to put anyone before myself. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, not minding high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. So that means it's possible. If it be possible, live peaceable with all men. Dearly beloved, venge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hungers. I'm talking about compassion. See, when you really love someone, he says, when your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. Wow, that's some hard stuff, but it's only hard if you really don't have the love of God in your heart. He says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And the final point, test your true compassion and ask yourself a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, where really is God in your everyday life? And if you really love him, if you really say you love him, and you really are concerned about the souls of men, the test of your Christianity will be seen in your everyday life. Church, I hope I've said something just to encourage our heart. Jesus says the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers, the faithful, encouraged workers are few. How about you this morning? Those of you that are members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you and remind you, because you have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, our condemnation is going to be a whole lot worse than those individuals that don't. And for those of you that are visiting that may not be part of the body of Christ, I want you to know you've heard the word of God this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The question is, do you believe what I see? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says you got to repent of your sins. And I know you're probably saying, when I get some things right, I'll come. Well, if you could get it right, he wouldn't have had to go to the cross. Amen. Luke 13, verse 5, 13, verse 3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you'll perish. The Bible says you must confess that he is a son of a living God. And for those of us who have obeyed the gospel, that's an ongoing confession. Do you not know that when we deny God in the world in which we live in, Jesus said, I will deny you before my Father. Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33, Jesus says, confess me before men, and I'll confess you before my Father. I want to confess you this day that Jesus can make the difference in your life. But what it requires is for you to come out of your sin and embrace his gospel. Jesus says, confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And the Bible teaches that it's in the watery grave of baptism that you and I have been saved. I know what the world teaches. The world says baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. I ain't found that in there yet. I'm still looking. But I did find this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. There's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism, not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And you know what? He didn't leave it to chance where to go. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, has put all things under his feet and have given him to be head over all things, which is the church, which is his body. Those of us understand that we're part of the body of Christ. And therefore, we have the right to the tree of life. Amen. Want to encourage you, want to remind you, one day he's going to call. And you know how we are. Boy, we quick to turn it on silent. Yeah. We quick to use that caller ID. Boy, could you imagine if God called us? Boy, you know how, you know when some of them bill collectors call, you ain't paid in a while? Well, you might know nothing about that, but for those of you that do know something about that, you know how you get all nervous and panicky? What if God was to call right now? What would your answer be? Would you be ready to receive him? Or would you tell him to come back? I'm not quite ready. No, when he calls, you're going to be ready. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. After death comes the judgment. And so I made up my mind that when I leave here, I know I want to be right in the sight of him. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.